Wonderful. Good morning, everybody. I'm sorry to have to cut across your conversations. I know you've been listening for a while, but I'm going to be speaking to you this morning. As you already know, I'm Ben, and I just wanted to say thank you for those wonderful prayers and appreciation and encouragements that everyone's expressed this morning. Thank you so much for that. I have to say, one of the wonderful things about the prospect of going away for 2 months is one element of being at home. And the one element of being at home that I really long to get away from is this. There is always something broken. Always. Actually, that's not true. If there was only one thing broken, that would be a win. I can literally just think in my mind right now of all the things that are broken at home. There's a few patio slabs on a patio I laid less than a month ago that have broken. There's a moped sat outside the front of my house that's broken. There's a few bowls. No, they're not in the house anymore, but they broke not that long ago. Going to have to replace those. Yeah, there's a door that's a bit stiff, the front door that keeps on getting stiff, and the fridge door that is just about staying closed, but keeps on tempting fate with just trying to lean open every so often. And honestly, we've had this fridge for 10 years, and the first five it was great, and the last five I'm still trying to figure out how to get it to stay shut properly. It just goes on. Sit down quietly on a Friday night, it's great. Put the telly on, relax. And halfway through, at the crucial moment of the drama, the internet goes wrong. And it just stops. It's just frustrating. It sounds like other people here can sympathize with me. Perhaps your home is in a better state than mine, though. Maybe your home is beautifully well-maintained and everything's great, but maybe you can feel aches and pains starting to slip into your body as age takes its toll and joints become stiff, skin becomes blemished, and the wrinkles start to form. I'm starting to see it myself. It feels like everything is always trying to fall apart. That's how it feels. And in case you're not feeling depressed enough already, I just thought you should know that this isn't just something you think is happening. This is something that really is happening. In fact, when I was at university, I studied thermodynamics, and the second law of thermodynamics is this, that in any closed system, so any box you put around stuff, everything tends to turn to mush. That's the way I'm going to explain it. I mean, scientists, it'll come on in a minute, it's going to work. Everything turns to mush, you see, there we go, everything is turning to mush, or they say entropy tends to increase, but we won't get into all of that. A simple example of that is right here. Okay, so I've got my glass of water, and it's a nice hot day, so I've got some ice in here. I hope we'll see if it stayed there. Yep, there is some ice in there. There we go. I'm going to put some ice in there now. What you'll see is the ice is sitting there nicely. If I seal that up, what's going to happen? This lovely, slightly warm water and the solid, cold ice, which are nice, distinct things. Well, what's going to happen? The ice is going to melt, the water's going to get a bit colder, and it's all going to be the same. It's all going to turn to be much the same. It turns to mush. And it's happening on a small scale like that. It's happening across the universe as it happens. If you look at what's going to happen, what scientists are saying is going to happen to the universe in the long term, it's all going to end up being a pile of inert matter, and it'll either be warm or extremely cold, we're not really sure. But with no outside intervention, it'll be a load of inert matter, and it'll all be dead. Everything entirely dead. Now, maybe this isn't news to you. Because if there's one thing that we all know we're heading towards, it's death. But here's the thing. The caveat to the second law of thermodynamics, the caveat to the law that everything is turning to mush, is that that only happens in a closed system when it's shut. The reason that my house is not just a massive pile of dust and rubble and isn't all completely broken, and in fact it's quite nice to live in, is that Helen and I maintain it. And, you know, the kids help out too. Some of the time. Although they are a source of entropy in our house as well, it has to be said. The reason that some of us here are walking around is because we've had joints replaced, not me, others have joints replaced by surgeons. And the reason that we don't have to be so worried about everything turning to mush is that there is outside intervention. It would be true that everything is turning to mush, except that God intervenes. God intervenes. Well, it'd be great to see, wouldn't it, how God intervenes. And we're going to be looking at a passage from the Bible today which tells us about that. The passage that we're looking from is written by a man called Luke, and he's writing in the first century, some years after Jesus was around. And in this passage, Luke records what many would call the start of the Christian church. For those with Bibles, we're going to be in Acts chapter 2. And the words will be on the screen behind me here and over there. And where the bit that we're reading from, Jesus has died, Jesus has been resurrected, and Jesus has ascended into heaven. And his disciples have seen all of that. And they're waiting to find out what happens next. They've been told that the Holy Spirit is going to come and fill them. And they don't really know what this is going to look like. They've got some ideas, but they don't really know what to expect. So let's read. When the day of Pentecost came, Jesus' followers were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one could hear their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." And amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made much fun of them and said, "They've just had too much wine." There's a moment here. God has intervened. He's done something. God has reached in from outside of our natural universe, and something has happened. What has happened? Jesus' followers have been waiting patiently, waiting to discover what would happen when the Holy Spirit came, and now they discover what he meant. Jesus meant you're going to be filled with power from an intervening God. It's not power confined to natural abilities. The kind of life that you'll lead from this point on is not a wholly natural life. This is above and beyond that. The Holy Spirit will fill you with a life that's from above nature or supernatural. Okay, so let's go back to Luke's account. Then Peter stood up with the 11. He raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this was what was spoken about in the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on my all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited to you by God to you by miracles, wonders and signs which God did through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me, because he's at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body will also rest in hope, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. You will not let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Now, that was David. Fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day, but he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Jesus is a descendant of David. Seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did he see his body decay. God had raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. And we'll come back to that in a minute. Now, some of that Peter speech is about explaining to the Jesus to the Jews of the day in the context of the history of the Jews as God's chosen people. I'm not going to dive into all of that. I still think it's great to hear it. And it is worth some time, but we'll just do one thing at a time. And today we're looking at God's intervention to defeat death and decay. And here's the thing. Peter is a direct eyewitness of Jesus, not only before his death on the cross, but of his resurrected body. So the person who was speaking all those words isn't just saying them because he thinks they might be true. He's seen them with his own eyes. He saw Jesus' life. He saw Jesus die on the cross. He witnessed the resurrected Jesus, and he saw him ascend into heaven. And now he's received the Holy Spirit as it was promised. This isn't some detached, maybe it happened thing. This is the direct eyewitness testimony of Peter. God raised Jesus from the dead. He freed him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on Jesus. Death just couldn't keep his hold on Jesus. It couldn't hang on to him. And this is the opposite of the situation that we're so used to, isn't it? All around us, all of the time. Everything we see around us, everything that we see is alive, we know is heading towards death. Even the most ancient and glorious oak tree that's been standing for thousands of years, one day that oak tree is going to die. And yet, death could not hold Jesus. Why could death not hold Jesus? Death could not hold Jesus because God, the very source of life itself, raised him from the dead. It raised Jesus. He raised Jesus from the dead. So how do you combat death and decay? You combat death and decay by pouring in life. And God poured life into Jesus. He poured resurrection life into Jesus, and he was raised from the dead. You see, God is the source of all life. God created the universe. He breathed life into the universe. It's so clear. And as I was saying about earlier, everything is turning to mush. There's only one direction for the universe without outside intervention. Everything's turning to mush. So why wasn't it mush in the first place? Because God created it. God breathed life into this universe. He put the stars into space, as we heard. He breathed life into this world around us. He created humanity to worship him. He breathed life into us. Our Creator God breathed that life in the first place. And here's what's also true. There is a way through death. And it's by being filled with life from God. I love this repetition of Peter about Jesus' resurrection. He was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. Jesus raised this Jesus to life, and we're all witnesses of it. That decay, that constant tendency to destruction, that is not affecting Jesus right now. Because he is resurrected. His resurrection life is an eternal life. This is what it means. It's so hard for us to get our heads around. Can you just imagine? Just imagine for a moment, a whole day goes by and there's no decay. None. Absolutely none. In fact, we're filled with surging life. This is what Jesus is like. This is Jesus' body right now, full of the surging resurrection life of God. And that's because moment after moment, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, century after century, ongoing, the life of God flows through Jesus. And now he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and poured out what you now see and hear. Jesus' resurrection life wasn't just restricted to Jesus. Jesus' resurrection life is poured out, is being poured out to his followers. This is incredible. How can you believe this? The very Creator God, the source of life itself, who raised Jesus from the dead, through him is now pouring out that resurrection life into his followers. No wonder the early church caused a bit of a stir. No wonder they were a bit of an annoyance in the side of the Roman Empire, and they kept on doing frustrating things for the empire, like caring for the sick and loving the oppressed. In a revolutionary way, they understood that God loves everyone and values everyone. They listened to Jesus' instruction that when you care for the least, you care for me, and they had the empowering presence of God to go and do it. Later on, we find that the church was just irrepressible. No matter how many persecutions there were through social pressure, imprisonment, torture, or death, the church just kept on growing because it is full, it was full, and it still is full of the resurrection life of God. And so the right question we might ask at this moment is, what does this mean for us? Or as those at Jerusalem said at the time, brothers, what should we do? And this is what they said. When the people heard about this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord, our God, will call. Peter tells them to repent. That is, to turn around. Jesus tells them that they need to give up leading the life they thought they were leading and instead follow Jesus. Any life that we try to live without Jesus is heading towards death. It simply is. If you think life is a zero-sum game without God, you're optimistic. Okay? It's a negative sum game. Everything's turning to mush. This is just the way of the world. There is simply no way that you or I, without an outside source of life to revitalize us, are going to overcome the laws of the universe. And so for any hope of ongoing life, we need an external source. And there is one person who's proven they can overcome death with life, and that is Jesus. No one else has ever done it. No one else has ever fully overcome death. We do find accounts of people who have been raised from the dead, but they go on to die again. We hear of people with near-death experiences, and they've died, they've come back to life, they die again. Jesus promises that followers of him who died and rose and then ascended to heaven and is now seated at the right hand of the Father, they get a taste of eternal life now through the power of the Holy Spirit, and that in the future we will be resurrected like him. We will be. No one else makes that offer. Literally no one else. Anything anyone else offers you will be based on borrowing a bit of life from somewhere else, eking out some of that life that God's poured out into the universe at the start. But it's still always heading towards death. We have this opportunity now to receive life. To receive life. Life. And the promise of life everlasting. Should we take it? Should we take it? Yes. I'm going to lead us into following Jesus. Perhaps the band could come up at this point. Now, you might be in one of a few different places today, and I want to ensure that wherever you are, you've got a chance to respond. Now, it might be that you're here today and you're thinking, I've heard a little bit about Jesus. Maybe this sounds like it might be a good idea, but I'm not really sure I want to commit to that yet. If that's the case, I'm really grateful that you've listened to me. Thank you. But if you want to find out more, I'd love to talk to you afterwards and help you connect with others in the church who can help you find out more about Jesus. It might well be that you're sat there thinking today, I really want to follow Jesus. I want this life. And if so, I'm going to lead us in prayer shortly. I'll put the prayer up on the screen behind me now. So that you can have a little read through it and see what we'll be saying together. And finally, it might well be, in fact, I'm sure many of us here today have already decided to follow Jesus. And perhaps you've been following him for years, but you're thinking, really, resurrection life? I don't feel like I'm leading a resurrection life right now. I need more of God's Spirit. And honestly, if you're a Christian here today, and you don't want more of the Holy Spirit, I think you're really missing out. I would urge you to respond today. So I'm going to lead us in prayer. Can we all stand up? And this first prayer is for those who want to follow Jesus for the very first time. Now, if that's you, please do say it along with me. You don't have to say it loudly. But do speak it with your mouth. I think it really helps us when we're talking to God. And particularly if you're talking to God for the first time or an early on step with him, just say it with your mouth as I speak it. Jesus, I choose to turn from a path full of decay and heading to death. I choose to follow you, my source of life. Instead, whatever it costs me from my old life, I'm willing to give up. It was going to decay and fail anyway, after all. I choose you, Jesus. Thank you for making it possible for me to receive your life, and please fill Fill me up now with your Holy Spirit so that I can live this new life to the full. Amen. And those of us who've just prayed that, and those of us who would like to receive more of Jesus, more of his Holy Spirit right now, I'm going to lead us in prayer, and then we're going to sing, but I'm just going to lead us in prayer now. If you just want to receive from God, sometimes it helps to put out your hands, just be like, yeah, I want to receive. God, I want something from you, not because I've done anything amazing, but because you've done something amazing. Let's be ready to receive. Lord, we ask you, please, Lord, we need your resurrection life. Lord, we need your Holy Spirit to fill us now. Please pour your Holy Spirit out on us. Fill us now with your Spirit, Lord. Jesus, you're sat there at the right hand of the Father. Would you pour your Spirit out on us now? Fill us again. Those of us who become empty and dry, those of us who become weary, those of us who've lost faith because they've just seen the death and the decay around us. Lord God, we ask for your presence, Lord God. We ask for your empowering presence in our lives. Holy Spirit, please come and fill each one of us, Jesus followers here today, with yourself and your life. We need you to live resurrection life. Let's sing, shall we? Feel free to join in or to... if you want to just stand and receive from God, that's great too.
And all who are thirsty, and all who are weak, come to the fountain. Dip your heart in the stream of life. Let the pain and the sorrow be washed away in the waves of his mercy. As deep cries out to
cries out to thee, we say. shout to the Lord.